Good morning and welcome to another edition of the KRFY Morning Show. I am a co-host. I am Jim Healy with Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Jim. How are you today?
Absolutely wonderful, though I see there is going to be a change in the weather today. Have you seen what's going on outside?
Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, it's overcast, unlike with the weather we've had for the last, what, 4 or 5 days, Julie?
Absolutely, Jim. The weekend was beautiful.
Absolutely. Time to get outside and do some yard work. But today, present temperature is 39 degrees. The forecast, we do need moisture. Scattered showers, cloudy with a high near 59 degrees. And the chance of precipitation, 40%. We're going to need some moisture for those little seedlings we planted over the weekend, aren't we?
That's for sure. I've got lettuce in there. Needs water.
We have garlic. We put garlic in last fall, and it survived. We have a couple of guests in our studio this morning. We have Jen Plummer. She is Executive Director of Kinderhaven, and Kat Chambers, Board Chair and Volunteer Coordinator. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So lucky to have you both here. For those of us new to the area, could you tell us a little bit about your organization, where you came from, where you started, sort of an overview?
Well, Kinderhaven, this is, I'm Kathy, this is who's speaking right now. We started back in 1996, and it came about that Marcia Ogilvy, as a lot of people know, she was quite the city leader and very involved volunteer in a lot of aspects, and our mayor, she found out back then that children that were taken from their homes due to abuse and neglect, there were so few foster families in Bonner County that these children were being taken basically to juvenile detention. So you have these children whose lives have been completely turned upside down by no fault of their own, and you put them in kid jail. And so you take a child who already thinks that a lot of what's going on in his home is their fault, and you reinforce it by putting them in juvenile detention. That was just not acceptable to Marcia at all. So she began a campaign to start a group foster care home, where a home environment where children could come with their siblings and be in a safe and secure, loving environment until the state figured out really what was in their best interest. So she began that in 1996, and we're about looking at probably 1,500 children. Local. These are local children that have come through our doors since then.
That's amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about... Can you tell us a little more about the services that are available through Kinderhaven?
I think Jen would probably be the best person to tell you a little bit about that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, this is Jen. And services, we basically see where the children are, what they come to us, you know, with, what they're struggling with, what they're strengths are, you know, because our kids have been taken from their homes, they've all been neglected or abused to one degree or another. So, they do need services. All of our kids are in counseling. If our kids have struggles in school, we'll help them with tutoring. We'll help them with speech therapy. Basically, like I said, whatever they need, we will provide it. We'll find a way to provide it for them.
When you say taken from their home, by whom?
So the Department of Health and Welfare, along with the police, will assess a situation.
Okay.
There are different levels of abuse. So, you know, the department may get a call where it's imminent danger. A child under 6 years old is actively being hurt and needs to be removed from that home immediately. Then there are other cases where there can be a more, an investigation. But in any event, the department and the police will remove children if they are... if they're being abused or neglected.
So before Kinderhaven, children were put in foster homes?
Well, yes, if they're available. And okay. So they'll be put in a foster home, but there has to be a hearing within 48 hours.
Okay.
So that the parents have their rights and they can say what their situation is. And then at this hearing, then a judge decides if there's enough, basically if there's enough evidence to keep the kids in care. And so that's where we come in, or a regular foster family. So if there's a number of children, like say 3 or 4 children in a family, that's where we come in, because it's really hard to place that number of children in a single family home.
You fill that temporary need for housing until the courts decide.
Yes, and it's not always temporary. Sometimes we have kids that can stay with us. We have no time limits on how long our kids can be with us. So they may need a very temporary home, a couple of days. We've had children that have been with us for more than a year, 2 years.
What determines the length of stay?
Basically, is the family working on what they need to work on to be able to reunify with their children? So there are time frames involved so that kids aren't just left out there waiting to see, will a parent, say they have a drug problem? Are they getting treatment? Are they working on that? And there's a certain amount of time that the parents can work on those things.
So the children are court referred?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. What does one do? Let's say, for example, I observe a neighbor doing something that I think is abusive towards a child. I might think that it's not an environment. Let's say, for example, it looks like a crack house. I'm just making that up. Mm-hmm. There's nobody I don't think in our neighborhood where we live where this is occurring. But, what I'm trying to get a sense of is court referral is just one. What about, especially since April is National Child Abuse Awareness Month, what does one do if one thinks he or she perceives of child abuse happening?
Well, I would actually say, this is Jen speaking, and I would actually say that our referrals come from everywhere. The initial referral is not necessarily from the court. It's really more from neighbors, teachers.
Teachers, that's a good one. That's a key.
A big one, absolutely. Concerned parents, other parents at school who might, see something that doesn't look right. And so, you can call, anybody can call. And before we're finished with, the broadcast, we'll give a phone number where anybody can call. And you can call anonymously. You do not have to identify yourself. You can just be a concerned person. And really everyone. Sometimes there's some misinformation that only teachers are required to report, or only counselors, or only police. Really, all of us have that, we're all really required. If we suspect child abuse, if we see evidence of child abuse, we need to make that phone call.
And I'll just give that number now. We'll give it again later, but it's the Idaho Care Line. The number is 800-929-2588, or you can simply call 211.
That raises a very interesting situation. I'm sure that all of us have been walking around downtown or in a grocery store, and we see something happening, let's say an adult hitting a child, or the child is being unruly, yanking the child's arm out of the socket, that sort of thing. We're reluctant, aren't we, to step in. How does one deal with that, especially in light of when we think of National Child Abuse Awareness, we think of elsewhere, not us, being witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Very true. This is Kat here. We live in just a paradise. You look around us and we just live in, I believe, one of the best places in the world. And it's very easy to look at it superficially and think that we all are living wonderful lives and our children are having these amazing childhoods and they're being well cared for and they're being educated and they're being fed. And we know that that is not the case. Bonner County is a very large area. You have a lot of people living very far out of town, sometimes without basic services such as water and electricity, transportation, and a lot of these children are not in school. So there are not eyes watching them. So it is up to us as a community to be aware of what we see and to see the other side. I would rather err on the side of calling and having it be nothing than to have miss an opportunity to maybe save a child. So I think it can be something as simple as calling the local police, writing down a license plate number of something that you see going on. If you're not available to call the 1-800 number, but it's funny. If we saw a dog in a car on a hot summer day, wow, we're on it. We're all over it. And I'm all for that. You're talking to a big dog lover. But if we need to see our children the same way that we see any innocent creature that relies on an adult for care and love and support.
How prevalent is child abuse? How does How does Idaho stack up, just like any of the other 49 states, since this is National Child Abuse Awareness Month? North Idaho?
I think, without knowing the exact numbers, I think that the really disturbing problem is, what isn't being reported, you know? So yeah, I'd say we probably stack up, you know, pretty much like the rest of the country, but again, there's that, how many kids, you know, how many, you can't see bruises, you know, kids are covered up. And unfortunately there are some abusive situations where that's on purpose. So you can't just see those, you know, the marks on the face. And so we really do have to be vigilant.
Wouldn't you say that the physical marks, they're the easiest to perceive?
Absolutely.
What about the psychological, mental?
Well, that's really where a lot of what comes into play at Kinderhaven is dealing with the underlying trauma. All of our kids have been traumatized. I mean, you think about being removed from your home in the middle of the night, regardless of what happens, regardless of the outcome, that one experience is traumatic. Imagine the cycle of trauma. Imagine the children that are repeatedly abused from the time they're little children. They're coming to us. Trauma is it really changes your brain. It basically changes your brain if you're traumatized as a little baby, as a little child, and then especially through those formative years. So, like you say, you know, the physical bruises, the physical marks are awful. What basically, you know, what emerges from that abuse is really what is going to change our communities. What's going to, you know, these are some of the people that are going to be arrested more, that are going to be, you know, possibly abusing their own children if they don't get that care, if they're not able to learn how to trust the adults in their life.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the care that you provide when they come to Kinderhaven, when kids come to Kinderhaven?
So this is Jen again. Pardon me. And, you know, the kids come to us in all, it's a sad situation. Oftentimes they come to us with just the clothes on their back. So the first thing we do is we offer them comfort and nurturing, boom, right off the bat. If it's the middle of the night, we're going to give them a sandwich and, you know, make sure they're not hungry, make sure that they have clothes, make sure that they're clean, they can take a shower. Often kids come to us very dirty, you know, in very, very desperate, neglectful situations. We've got clothes for them. We've got anything that they can possibly need. We've got their own room for them. We've got their own blankets. We've got their own stuffed animals. And these are things that they will get to keep with them the whole time they're with us and when they leave. So we take care of those basics at first, and then the real work is finding out what's going on in their situation. What do they need? Where do they go to school? All of our kids go to public schools. We don't have a school on site. So we want to minimize as many changes as we can. So we get the kids into whatever elementary school they already go to. We really try to normalize it as much as possible.
What resources do you have to make the kids feel better? Are there psychologists, nurses, et cetera?
We get all of our kids into counseling. We work with the Department of Health and Welfare, so all of our kids have a caseworker. We're like the foster home. So we take some direction from the department, and then we also look at what the kids' needs are, and we get them into whatever services they need.
Unlike a foster home where you have one set of adults, maybe, and here you have a group of children, is that beneficial to have abused children together? Do they find comfort in one another, the same age, that, you know, other children going through similar sorts of experiences?
Yeah, Kat here, and I love this story because you wonder that. Is it good for them? And it is. It gives them children who understand, children who have been in the same situation. And they will open up. They might not talk to a counselor quite so openly or to one of our staff, but they will talk to other children about their experiences, and they will be very honest, and it's very raw. And I remember one story that staff was telling me about a child that came in very frightened. It was in the afternoon. Kids were all home from school. And the other children all just sort of made a little circle around this child. Uh-huh. And they all introduced themselves. And they not only introduced themselves, they said, you know, hi, my name is, you know, just for, you know, just to, we don't ever say our children's names on the air. my name is John, and my dad used to hit me. And the next child would introduce themselves and say, and this is what happened to me. And it just became like a little mini group session that these kids just started on their own. But they seek comfort in each other, and they know that there are other children that have been in similar situations.
Well, it's what you said earlier about the child feeling like he or she is at fault for what happens. In something like this, they're not alone.
Right.
They're not alone in terms of there are other children of like age going through similar experiences.
Yes. And I think that our staff over the past several years, our staff has been trained in trauma informed care. So we take children whose brains really have been scrambled, and we try to unscramble them. And we're finding that that studies show it can be rewired. Brains can be rewired. So our staff is very well trained in this. And we do that process very subtly every single day, whether it's having a meal. We sit down for dinner every night. Every child sits down and has a family meal. A lot of these kids have never done that. They have chores, simplest chores. Even the tiny ones have chores that they everybody has a part. Everybody has a job and is relied upon to make this whole homework.
To make the housework. Jen, you mentioned earlier children of school age. Do you get any preschoolers?
Oh, yes, definitely. That changes the dynamic. Really, every time we get a new group of kids into Kinderhaven, the job is different for our staff. If we have all school age children, then there's a certain job that you do in the morning, which has to do with maintaining the facility, the home, and all these kinds of things. And then when you have a baby, all of a sudden you've got a baby and a 2-year-old, and then the scope of your job completely changes, you know? So we really just roll with whatever kids we have and wherever they are. We try to see them, you know, and work with them.
And it can change by the hour.
Absolutely.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY, Community Supported Radio for North Idaho. This is The Morning Show with Julie Calamine and Jim Healy. And our guests this morning are Jen Plummer and Kat Chambers from Kinderhaven, a very important organization here in North Idaho. We're going to take a music break and then come back and talk what a listener should do, since this is National Child Abuse Awareness Month. What should listeners take away from our conversation? The musical break is going to be a song by Natalie Merchant and 10,000 Maniacs. And this is a song called What's the Matter Here? And the singer of the song sees abuse happening in a neighbor. And the refrain goes, I'm tired of the excuses everybody uses. He's their kid. I stay out of it. But who gave you the right to do this? And it ends with, though, on a note that sort of leaves me a little bit uncomfortable. And I want to say, what's the matter here? But I don't dare say. So here is Natalie Merchant, 10,000 Maniacs, with What's the Matter Here on 88.5 KRFY. That is Natalie Merchant and 10,000 Maniacs. What's the matter here? And I want to say, what's the matter here? But I don't dare say. That comes from their MTV Unplugged CD.
And we are listening to 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the North, Idaho. We are here this morning on the KRFY Morning Show with Kat Chambers and Jem Plummer from Kinderhaven. Good morning again to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're back from the break, and we want to change the direction just a bit and talk about what listeners and folks in the community can do to help Kinderhaven and children in general, as it is Child Abuse Prevention Month, the month of April. Okay. Kat?
I would just love to read our mission statement because it's fabulous, and it has not changed since the inception of Kinderhaven 20 years ago. Kinderhaven is dedicated to supporting children in crisis and giving them back their right to thrive by providing a safe, secure home in which their emotional, physical, and mental well-being are protected and enriched. And the key word that we love to talk about a lot is the right to thrive, because everyone has the right to thrive. So we try to give that back to the children and do that through love and protection and support and giving them adults to trust, which is very important for a child.
That's really great. Let's move on and talk a bit more about how folks in the community can help our kids and how they can help you help the kids?
I think being aware, you know, but I didn't, were you? Right. I think being aware there are some warning signs. You can go to our website and you can read a little bit more about warning signs. The obvious ones we've talked about, the things that, you know, you can see, bruises. The things that are not so easy to see are, you know, is a child reluctant to go home to his family? Is the child acting very differently? Is the child not as interested in some of the things that he or she once was? Are things out of the ordinary? And ask questions, you know, get to know your neighbors, get to know the kids, you know, and again, be aware. And that's really why we're here today, is to be talking about this. It's April. And let's talk about child abuse awareness, because it's happening all around us. As Kathy said, right here in Bonner County, there's a reason that Kinderhaven is here. It's necessary.
And remind us of your website again.
It is www.kinderhavensandpoint.com. And there is a tab of ways of how you can help. So the 1-800 number is on there as well.
And you can also Google Kinderhaven, and it'll say Kinderhaven Sandpoint. You just hit on that. Tell me a little bit more about the house, not necessarily the address, but how many children at any one time would one find there, as well as occupancy rate?
So occupancy rate is 16 children, and we can vary anywhere in that number. But I would say our average is around 10 children, and that's a lot of kids. 10 is a lot of kids, and when we've been up at 15, it's pretty wild. And at the same time, very structured. It's just, when you've got 15 children, there's a lot of energy.
And how many staff does it take to watch 10 kids? And are they volunteers, paid employees?
So our staff are all paid. We do have volunteers as well. But we have paid staff because our staff are, they're like house moms. They live at Kinderhaven. They don't live at Kinderhaven. It's not their residence. But we have to have 24/7 care of the children. So one of the really unique things about Kinderhaven is that we're very small. Once we get over 8 kids, we are legally required to double staff. So that means we definitely have enough staff for the children that we have. But we like to keep our organization very small. And that's really part of the therapeutic underpinnings of Kinderhaven, is that we want these kids to learn how to trust a small, you know, it's hard to really invest in people. And here these house moms really build trust with the kids. And it's those trusting, loving relationships that, as Kat was saying, you know, start to rewire their brain and heal from that trauma. So we have a small group of staff that the children, you know very well. They go to bed, you know, they're told bedtime stories by the same person who wakes them up in the morning.
It must take a very special staff for these children. It can't just be the part-time babysitter.
Takes a big heart. Takes That's a big right. heart. Absolutely.
And infinite patience.
Absolutely.
And now, is Kinderhaven registered with a board? Who oversees Kinderhaven, that they're doing the job? You read the mission statement, Kat, that they're doing the job that they're supposed to be doing.
Well, Jen's been working on this for quite a while now, but we have a board of directors, of course, that oversees making sure that Kinderhaven has what it needs to survive and to thrive and to continue on. That's what our board of directors does. But we are governed by health and welfare, so the state of Idaho. We are treated like any other foster home would be treated. So Jen has been working diligently, and it's going to take up most of the next month, our annual
License review.
Do you do that every year?
Yes, we do. So we have regulations that we have to abide by that are very, very specific.
Oh, I would imagine.
And so, which is great, which I think is wonderful. We're a very transparent organization. And so we have a license reviewer that basically checks out everything about the place. And it's very important that they do that. But we are very regulated by the state, everything that we do.
Even down to how the forks are placed in the dishwasher.
Oh. Boy, tell me, because I have a big controversy over this at home. Tell me, Kat.
Well, it's not how you would think. Typically, we put forks up, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they get washed better. Forks
down.
Up.
Mm-hmm.
Down. Down is how the state likes them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I'll tell you why I like them down, because we have some silverware where it slips through the grating and goes down and blocks whatever it is.
There you go.
I'm
mystery solved.
I'm with you on that. In a given year, Jen, how many children would you just guess the house comes in and out of the house?
Oh, in and out of the
house. I'm sure it varies.
It does vary. It varies quite a bit. We do like to say we've served over 1,500 children, and that number is getting bigger.
Is this a per year?
No, this is all together. Since we
okay, that's still significant.
Yes, but we've had hundreds of kids come through our doors throughout a year. Absolutely.
And the number of kids that come through your doors, I take it it's only like the tip of the iceberg in terms of the number of children out there who really need the services of organizations like Kinderhaven.
I would agree. You know, we look at crimes against, you know, women, how few women report crimes against them. These are adult women. You can only imagine what it must be like for children. Children very rarely go and report their parents to child abuse. They don't have those faculties to do that. So we can do the best we can with the children that are given to us, but we know there are many, many more out there.
Have you been able to keep track of the children that have left your facility and seen how they've done later? Is that something that you find out about?
If they come to us, and that's really neat. That can be, you know, just recently we had a couple of kids that came back that had lived at Kinderhaven, and they like to come in and check in on us. You know, it was their home too, you know, and it was a part of their life. And it's really interesting to see them come back in, and they're either in a better situation they were in with their own family, or maybe they're in a new family because things didn't work out with their biological family. But some of them do come back. There are a lot of kids we just hope. We hope for the best. We've got teenage girls, that have come back, and a lot of times when teenagers turn 18, they actually can stay in foster care if they're going to school. They can stay past the age of 18, but a lot of times that's tough to turn 18 and to stick around. And so we really encourage them to stay in school and to do as much as they can to get that diploma and get some, you know, hopefully some higher education. A lot of times they don't want to do that, and they'll almost always come back and say, "We really wish we would have stayed with you."
Mm-hmm. We actually set aside money to help children that transition out of Kinderhaven. We have a small fund when they need help with, you know, an apartment down payment. Sure. Or electricity. We can help them with that if they come to us. We also offer a college scholarship. So we have girls that graduated, kids that have graduated that are in school that need help with books and tuition, and they come to us for that, and we're happy, so happy to help.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the issue of money. How does, you have a paid staff, and I'm sure that it takes money to keep the house going, to feed the children. Where does Kinderhaven find financial resources for this organization and the great job you're doing?
We find it anywhere we can, but a lot of people believe that we're funded by the state. Since we're regulated by the state, well, you obviously get state money. And we do get state money. But looking at our budget, only about 14% of that, 1/4% of that comes from the state.
Wow.
The remaining comes from fundraising, grant writing, donations and things like that. So we work very hard to make up that difference, because we don't ever want to decline in services. There's no way we could do this for 14% of our budget.
Absolutely not. And if a listener out there is interested in making a donation, where does he or she send the donation to?
Well, we have a P.O. box, and you can make your check out to Kinderhaven, and we are a nonprofit.
So that means tax deductible?
Tax deductible.
Absolutely.
Yes. And we have, if you go onto our website, it'll actually break it down for you. We actually have some extra benefits to Kinderhaven, has a special designation. Mm-hmm. Where you get to write off more. But our P.O. box is 2097 in Sandpoint, 83864.
And you can always call.
Mm-hmm. And you can call 265-2236. That is Kinderhaven's number. And, you know, we've got folks that just, you know, that send us donations or have made PayPal, you know, have done different donations in different ways. But absolutely, it's how, you know, basically... It's our community. Our community, the community of Sandpoint basically funds Kinderhaven.
And if they don't have cash to give, are there items you're always looking for? Can they find that somewhere?
Everything that takes to run a home, We need it, Kinderhaven.
Right. You'll probably laugh at it. We have a list on our website on kinderhavensandpoint.com under how can I help. And we have a long list of silly things that we need, but we go through them a lot.
Yep.
I am quite sure. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY, Community Supported Radio for North Idaho. Julie and Jim here with two very important people from a fine organization, Kinderhaven, Jen Plummer and Kat Chambers. I'd like to ask you each a personal question. How did you become involved with Kinderhaven?
So I'll take that first. This is Jen. And I began working with the staff at Kinderhaven. Our former executive director was Phyllis Horvath. And I began working with Phyllis and the other staff as a licensed social worker. I worked with some children that lived at Kinderhaven. So I got to get to know the staff, get to know the kids. And a couple of years ago, Phyllis approached me with the idea in mind, with an incredibly comprehensive plan, because you know, Kinderhaven there's a lot to learn about Kinderhaven. And so the plan for me was to take over eventually, which just happened last January. And Phyllis was an absolute excellent steward for Kinderhaven, champion for Kinderhaven for 9 years.
And I was asked to be on the board by a friend of mine who was going to be leaving, and she didn't feel comfortable leaving without somebody to replace her, take her vacancy. And I thank her for that, because it's been the most phenomenal board I've ever served on. But I really love making a difference, and what better place to make a difference in the lives of the children and the future of our community and beyond.
What lies ahead in the months ahead for Kinderhaven? I know that it's a little bit too early to talk about Christmas trees, especially since we're looking for trees to bud forth right now. But what's on the Kinderhaven agenda for the months ahead?
Well, being that this is April and Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month, this is a big month for us, and not so much for money raising, but we just need to get the word out. We are here. We provide an amazing service. We just want people to know what we do. And the way that we're doing that is we're on some speaking circuits, some radio shows and Rotary and things like that. But we also have these great little rubber wristbands, Kinderhaven wristbands. And you can get them at any of these locations. Just go to Columbia Bank, Mountain West Bank, both the Sandpoint branch and the Pondere branch, Arby's, the Visitor Center at the Chamber office, both of the locations for Horizon Credit Union, and P1FCU in Pondere. So just go pick up a wristband, wear it, and just be proud that you're doing something to make a difference.
I want to thank both of you. Julie and I want to thank you, Jen, and you, Kat, for coming on. I cannot tell you how much we appreciate the job that Kinderhaven is doing. Children are so important, and as we oftentimes are aware of, the playing field is not level. Mm-hmm. And some of us have been fortunate enough to sort of like skate through that playing field, but there are so many who fall through the cracks. And thanks so much for coming on the air and educating us about Kinderhaven and the great job it does. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Yes. You're welcome. We're going to close out this segment with Sweet Honey in the Rock, a beautiful song called On Children. The lyrics come from the book The Prophet by Cahill Gibran. This is just an a cappella group that I just think is incredible. Here is closing out Sweet Honey in the Rock, On Children. And then Julie and I will come back and talk about upcoming events in the community.
Your children, just like you, strive to be like them, but you cannot make them just like you.
Sweet Honey in the Rock, On Children.
And again, we'd like to thank Kat Chambers and Jen Plummer for joining us from Kinderhaven on the Tuesday morning show here at 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Jim, let's talk about some upcoming events.
I'm all set for it.
All right, I'll start. Today, Tuesday, the 12th, we can look forward to a sip and shop at the Pondere Winery. It's at 301 Cedar. It's from 4 until 7 p.m., and it is going to be benefiting the Bonner County Garden Association. 10% of all the proceeds from the Pondere Winery's gift shop, Tasting Room and Bistro Rouge restaurant will be donated to the organization. BCGA is an organization of qualified volunteers who provide educational programs and community service in home horticulture for Bonner County. All are welcome to attend this event. The number, 208-265-8545.
And if I'm not mistaken, there's another sip and shop at the Pine d'Oreille Winery on Wednesday.
That is true. I may skip the details of the winery, but know that this event will be happening on Wednesday from 7 p.m., 5 to 7, and this one will be benefiting the Idaho Community Foundation. Once again, 10% of all proceeds from the Pine d'Oreille Winery gift shop, tasting room, and Bistro Rouge restaurant will be donated to the organization. And I'll repeat the number one more time, 208-265-8545.
Another organization that is doing an incredible job here in North Idaho is CHAFE, about supporting local children on the autism spectrum. And on Wednesday, April 13th, there's the CHAFE 150 Happy Hour at Idaho Poor Authority. Devon Wade is going to perform live from 5:30 to 8, and there will be raffles with great prizes, silent auction, complimentary hors d'oeuvres, and the Oscar Blues Brewery beer will be on tap. So that is CHAFE 150. It takes place on June 18th, and this is a great opportunity to learn about children who are on the autism spectrum. And you can find more information at 208-946-3436. That is free admission. Again, Idaho Poor Authority, Wednesday night, 5:30 to 8 p.m., the CHAFE 150 Happy Hour.
Sounds fun. Jim, on Thursday, we have Our Animal Friends Art Opening Reception. That's at Monarch Mountain Coffee, 208 North 4th Avenue, and that will be from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. for the art exhibition by Tom Kramer and Robbins Napolitan. The exhibition is on display through June 2, and that is sponsored by the Pine d'Oreille Arts Council. I have another item for Thursday, the 14th, and that is Jazz and Java, and that is also at Monarch Mountain. The Jazz and Java Jam and Open Mic Night is from 6 until 8 p.m. on the second Thursday of every month. All players are welcome. Sit in with a rhythm section, play solo, or just listen. This is hosted by Larry Mooney, jazz vocalist and guitarist. Amps and PA are provided. You can go online to sandpointguitar.com or call 208-290-2632.
We'll take a break from community events before we head into the weekend. We're going to play the number one song on this date back in 1966, 50 years ago. Do you remember 1966, Julie?
I was a two-year-old, Jim.
Oh, you were probably rocking to this song. Done by the Righteous Brothers, Bobby Hatfield and Bill Medley. This is Everybody Thinks of You've Lost That Love and Feeling. They did that when they were underneath the guidance of Phil Spector. But this song is their number one song when they broke away from Phil Spector. This is called Soul and Inspiration by two people whose vocal style was given the title of Blue-Eyed Soul. 50 years ago today, April 12th, 1966, this was the number one song. You're my soul and inspiration. The Righteous Brothers, the number one song on April 12th, 2016. I'm looking at the calendar over there. It does seem like yesterday, 1966. And interestingly enough, the writers of the song came from the Brill Building Pop Machine, the one that Carole King came from. But this was written by Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil. Number one song, 50 years ago, you're my soul and inspiration. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Julie and Jim, and we're going over the calendar of events. Now, the Panada Theater is going to be hopping this weekend, as well as the Little Theater. on the 14th and 15th, that is Thursday and Friday, in the Little Theater is a documentary called Cartel Land. And it's a film that has received quite a bit of attention at different film festivals. It follows a physician in a state in Mexico who leads a citizen uprising against the drug cartel that has brought havoc to the region for years. It's a documentary at the Panada Little Theater on this 14th and 15th, Thursday and Friday. And then on the big theater on the 15th, 16th, and 17th, My Name. Oh, no, no. Hello. My name is Doris.
Hello.
No, no. Hello. No, my name is really Jim. But the movie's name is Hello, My Name is Doris, and it stars Sally Fields. And it's going to be on at 7:30 on the 15th and 16th, and 3:30 on Sunday the 17th. And it says here, mimosas will be available at the Sunday matinee. That's at the Panada Big Theater. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Hello, my name is Doris. And at the Little Theater, it is Cartel on Thursday and Friday. And of course, with all of these, you can go online to the website for the Panada Theater.
Well, get your partying in Friday night, because Saturday is supposed to be good weather, and we have a couple of outdoor events that you might want to attend to help the look and feel of Sandpoint. Saturday the 16th, please join us at Shake the Sand Out. This is Sandpoint's Business Improvement District hosting its annual Shake the Sand Out downtown cleanup event, where teams of business owners and community volunteers join forces and put the sparkle back into downtown Sandpoint. Volunteers gather at 8:30 a.m. in Jeff Jones Square to receive sector assignments, gloves, and garbage bags, as well as coffee and a light breakfast to get started. This project takes just a few hours and is a great way for us all, for those of us that are individuals, and also for service groups to provide much appreciated sprucing up of our downtown. To volunteer as an individual or as a team, contact Kim Queen. You can reach Kim at kim@sandpointchamber.com. Then, after the Shake the Sand Out, we have the LPOW Annual Sand Creek Cleanup. Here you can help Lake Pendere waterkeepers keep local waterways clean and beautiful during the annual Sand Creek Cleanup from 10 a.m. until noon. Meet at the City Beach Pavilion for this family-friendly event. Bring sturdy or waterproof boots, gloves to protect your hands, and clothing appropriate for the morning's weather. LPOW will provide coffee, tea, and treats for all volunteers, and you will meet at 9:45 for refreshments and a brief cleanup logistics meeting. Then head on out to get our downtown waterways looking beautiful. I'm going. You can read more about this at lakepondrewaterkeeper.org.
I just booted up the weather for Saturday, and it looks like we're going to have rain with us through Friday, but it says Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 62. Can you beat that, Julie?
Sounds perfect, Jim. Sounds like a nice morning to get out and help out downtown.
And it's always a good way. I think it's a good thing to give back to the community in which we find ourselves. This is a short but sweet way to make a difference here in North Idaho. I would like to mention, coming up on the KRFY Morning Show tomorrow, April 13th. Do you know that we're getting close to tax day, April 15th? The Ide. I don't know if April has an Ides. Not every month has an Ides on the 15th.
Jim, we have to end on a happy note.
Okay.
Tax talk.
Okay, no more tax talk. Join tomorrow at 8 o'clock on the KRFY Morning Show, Chris Bessler and Susie Prez. And their guests will be Dan McDonald and Lewis Rich, who are running for the open county commissioner's seat in the May primary. That is tomorrow, Chris and Susie on the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show. And on Thursday, Lonesome Jack, April 14th, his guests will be Michelle Murphy and Dion Heller with Food for Our Children. Michelle Murphy has just done such a bang-up job with the Edible Schoolyard Garden Project, and I'm a big fan of hers, and she knows that. That is this Thursday, April 14th. They're going to be talking about food for our children here on 88.5 KRFY.
Those both sound very interesting. Jim, we need to save the date, and the date is May 6th, 2016. And because we're going to be having a benefit, 88.5 KRFY Community Radio with the Little Smokies. They're going to be live at the Panetta Theater, and with them will be special guests Doug Bond and Terry Ludeker. Again, that's going to be Friday, May 6th, 2016. It starts at 6:30 p.m. The doors open at 6:30 p.m. and the show is at 7:30 p.m. It's all ages. In advance, it's $15, at the door, $18. You can get tickets at iCarts, at our radio station here, KRFY, Kiniksu Land Trust, Evans Brothers, Pedro's, and online at panetta.org.
That is May 6th, and it is an opportunity to show your support not only for the music but also for your radio station, your community-supported radio station, KRFY. May 6th, the Lil Smokies.
Do you have a hard time saying Lil, Jim?
I want to say little. Well, I think the trouble is those two L's together with a vowel in between. Lil.
That's right.
It sounds like you're slurping something. But irrespective of how we call them or what we call them, they're going to play some outstanding music here on May 6th at the Panetta Theater, a fundraiser for KRFY.
And in case you don't know it, they are a bluegrass band, and they are fresh from a first-place competition win at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival. So really worth saving the date on May 6th.
And we also want to remind you that coming up in June will be our annual membership drive. Very important to encourage previous donors and membership members, as well as new listeners, to show their support for Community Supported Radio here in North Idaho. Without your support, we would not be able to remain on the air.
And the date for that is June 10th and 11th. So please put that date on your calendar too, because it'll be a fun event right here in downtown.
Absolutely. And we do have overhead. We have two part-time positions here, a station manager and a production manager, as well as we have to pay transmitter fees. We have to pay for ASCAP BMI fees. You might wonder where the money goes. Most of us here are volunteers, but we do have expenses, and not only the concert on May 6th, but the fundraiser on
June 10th and June 11th
are just two ways in which we try to generate revenue, as well as many thanks to our underwriters, who without their, they are our lifeblood.
I agree. Well, it's been a good hour, Jim.
I want to thank you, Julie. It's good to be back. And you've been listening to The Morning Show with Julie and Jim. And we're going to close out. I've got a song that's just a musical interlude called Twilight that will lead you up into Bird Note. I think Bird Note is coming in at 9 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in and supporting Community Supported Radio for North Idaho.